precious to me. I know it's precious to you too, because we were. And if you'll open up in the Gospel of Luke, verse 24, sorry, chapter 24, verses 13 and 35. 13 and 35. This is a very familiar passage, I hope, to all of you. But it's a tremendous passage. You know when you tell a story, especially with, say, your beloved wife, you're trying to tell a story, because we have all kinds of stories. And any time that we tell a story, I would say it's a competition to decide who is going to tell the story. But if you're telling a story and you happen to take a breath, well, you've just given up your right to finish that story. Okay, so you guys know what I'm talking about. When I see what's going on here in this passage. of course, when we read this, we see this event as historical. They were living this event in the moment. They were riding a emotional roller coaster, because this is after the resurrection of our Lord. But that week, goodness, just think all the things that they had seen, right? They saw the Lord Jesus come in on a donkey and was hailed Hosanna, right? Son of David, all these things. People were laying down their clothes in front of this donkey. Travel. And, throughout the week, he was being tested by the Pharisees and Sadducees and the like. But then we see the crowd turn, right? And it was not pretty. And we see the Lord being taken, ridiculed and mocked, scourged and beaten and all these things, and then crucified. And they saw all these things. And so it was truly an emotional roller coaster, because this is who they thought was the Messiah who's going to, restore the kingdom to Israel. Well, let's look at that chapter, verses 13 through 35. Let's read this together. Now, behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" I love that. They said, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people." And then his partner chimes in, "And how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel." Cleopas, "Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, a certain woman of our company who arrived at the temple early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, the Lord Jesus, O foolish and slow of heart, to believe in all the prophets, have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, by a show of hands, who would like to have been involved in that Bible study? Anybody? I mean, beginning at Moses, all the prophets, all the scriptures. Wow! The Lord Jesus taught by the very one who is the Word of God. Can you imagine? Tremendous. He goes on. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. Yeah, I love that. As the perfect gentleman, the Lord does not go where he's not invited. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went to stay with them. Now, this word constrained is a great term, because it means that they asked him with deep sincerity and urgency. And can you blame them after he revealed the scriptures to them in a way that they had never heard? Now, it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Now, I always thought that this was a little bit odd. You know, when you're a guest in someone's home, you don't usually do the blessing. That's the homeowner responsibility. But in this case, he takes that responsibility on. They blessed him by inviting him in. So he blesses them in return. And, you know, I was thinking that this reminds me of Hebrews 13, 2, that says, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. However, in this case, they were not entertaining an angel, but the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh, God in the flesh. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. How does this play out in your mind? I don't know. But it's just, this is such an amazing thing. And allow me to use some holy imagination. Thank you for that trampoline, by the way. Here's the scene that I see. The Lord is at the head of the table, and he takes the bread, and he breaks it, and he hands it to each of the disciples, and they take it. Maybe, wouldn't that be something? So they take it, and it's like, right, and they're just about to get breath to say his name, and he's, what do you do next? I can see these guys immediately locking eyes, right? Well, you know what I'm talking about, right? Locking eyes. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road? And while he opened the scriptures to us, you ever had that burning inside? Do you understand what they're talking about? You know that feeling when you share the gospel with someone and it's making traction and they're understanding And they're coming so close. Like Steve was saying, they're just about to take that step of faith. Man, your heart is pounding and burning inside because you just know the truth of God is just penetrating this person's heart. I have a feeling that these men were like that as they listened to the scriptures by the Lord Jesus himself. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. I'm sure they could not get out of the door fast enough. Even though it was probably late in the evening. And I can almost guarantee you that their journey back to Jerusalem was much shorter than the departure. Because I have a feeling that their feet barely touched the ground. Were yours? After seeing that? Tremendous. So they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they, these two disciples, told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. And I really read all that to get to that. He was known to them in the breaking of bread. This last sentence just blesses my heart. Beloved, there is something very special and unique about the way we celebrate the Lord. It is truly special. I don't know how many places you've been, but not a whole lot of people do things the way we do it. And I'm not saying that everybody has to and this is just the only way, but I find it very precious, the way that we celebrate the Lord's Supper. It is not so much about the emblems themselves, even though in and of themselves they are great and wonderful and speak to us. But it's the voice of the Lord that I hear from your hearts as you share what the Lord has placed there. That is so precious to you. And this is the time when we get to do that. What an honor. Say it all the time. It's an honor and it's a privilege that we get to do this. And I'm so glad that the men here get to share everything in their heart. Because it just reveals to me more of the Lord Jesus. And that's never been. If the Lord's Supper is precious to you as it is to me, then the Lord has made things known to you in the breaking of bread that are just too difficult to put in words. Did anybody ever have that? I mean, it's just, it's so tremendous that there just aren't words. And it's just such a precious time. And I pray that our remembrance here at Fairbluff will continue to be sweet. Because you know what, beloved? What we just finished may be the last Lord's Supper we ever celebrate. Yeah. And I won't miss it because I'll see my Savior face to face. While we're here, this is so precious. May we not take it for granted because it just doesn't happen like this in many places. It's worth hanging on to, worth holding on to. And that's what I wanted to talk about this morning. Coming up on the next hour, we're going to talk about the race, the Christian race, and how we should run, why we should run. I have about 7 things I want to cover, so we'll do that then. Now, during the break, there's coffee. So I hope you guys like coffee. There's really no other observed or anything, so. So just go back, enjoy each other, enjoy the fellowship. Also, please be considerate of the time. Sometimes we get a little happy in our fellowship and we forget about the time. But Doug needs to start meeting on time, so we appreciate it. We'll be back here at least 5 minutes before. That's great. Father, we are truly thankful for this opportunity you've given us to think about these things, to consider the scriptures, to think about how precious it is to remember our Savior as He appointed. Father, may we never take this for granted. May we always see this as a time where we can focus on our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And Father, we just thank you for every blessing that you give in His precious name.